Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into some different topics today than maybe we have been talking about lately, obviously, with the coaching news at Oklahoma kind of simmering down with a lot of that staff being filled out. We can move on a little bit to other things. I heard an interesting discussion to start Jim's show yesterday. He was talking about the OU-Butler game and how bad it was. As far as just the basketball, the level of basketball. And it was interesting that it was that night because...
Quite the contrary. I enjoyed it.
But it was
entertaining.
No, it's not. It's terrible basketball.
Well, the way it went to overtime and everything, it was fun for me.
The game itself, because it was close.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Harkless hitting that three to send it to overtime and just the excitement.
Yeah, we're gonna disagree on this one because it's terrible basketball. And it's funny that it was that night, too, because the two other games... with teams ranked inside the top 15, were equally as awful, even though close. And I think another one went into overtime with Tech and Tennessee.
Oh, yeah, it did.
And it was terrible.
I didn't watch the dribble of that one.
But I've got some stats from those games. It happened, and then when did this start, right? Has college basketball always – when did it start being this poorly played? Has it been – did we just not notice because it was fun to watch Kelvin and Eddie's teams play each other, and we thought it was great that it was close, even though the score was 44-45 a lot of times.
Yeah.
And nobody could dribble it across half court and damn sure couldn't make a basket. But it was close, and it was – I mean, they were fist fights. Did we just not notice because OSU was – and OU were both pretty good? Did we not notice until the Thunder came along?
Got some Final Fours in there.
Yeah, that's one, two for Eddie, one for Kelvin. I mean, they were here 20 years.
Well, still, that's more than a lot of other programs.
I understand, but was it good basketball is my question. And what?
No offense, I just think we're getting nitpicky.
35% from the field is good basketball?
I know, but what I'm saying is the way that game happened on Monday, or was Tuesday, was it Tuesday? Just the way it ended, or the way that regulation ended. I mean, sometimes you just throw numbers out.
9 of 31, shooting threes?
Sometimes I just throw numbers
out. Oh, but it was great because one of them went in to cause overtime was about the worst thing that could have happened to that game because we still had to see him brick shots.
You're a purist.
You're clearly different than me on this.
I can't wait.
We'll hit that at the end.
I'm just happy OU found a coach that's getting fans back in the stands, apparently.
Especially the
students.
He's definitely getting students back in the stands.
He's getting students excited, which is really hard nowadays.
And by the way, you know, you've always seen those kind of the football coach, basketball coach rankings.
Yeah.
Of schools, you know, when you combine them, you know, like for years it was Spurrier and Donovan. Or it was Kelvin
and
Bob.
Helmet and hoops.
That's right. There is zero doubt if you put that to intensity, Oklahoma rules the roost with Mosier and Venables now from the intensity standpoint.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they are
off the charts. I could see Venables, if, you know, they get a key win next season, him running to the student section and jumping in there and body surfing, and I can see him doing that.
At first, this basketball season, I thought, man, OU's kind of got a two-toned polo for their basketball coaches. What is going on?
I have that shirt, by the way.
Oh, it really is two-toned? I was afraid he was sweating through
it. No. I have that shirt.
the way it looked.
That was it was an early coach's polo for the football season.
Okay.
I have that shirt.
Because the way he's up and down and moving around, I thought,
it's
not two-tone. He's sweating through his shirt.
It may have been.
He probably is doing that.
It might have
also
been. Yeah. So you know who I saw on the sideline Monday while we're on this real quick?
Who?
OK Davis. You know, he's on the coaching
staff. That's right. He is on the coaching staff.
That's pretty cool. I like bringing back the OU guys, you know, like Russell.
I wish we could get him back out there because he could actually shoot.
Oh, yeah. I bet that is his primary role, is you teach these guys how to shoot.
Ooh, I'm afraid.
Oh, come on. It's eight games in.
Man, I'm.
Six, seven, eight games in.
If that's the case.
First season. Give him, Terrell, give him some time.
Come on, Terrell. I'm getting a little bit worried for his employment prospects if he's the shooting coach. Anyhow, we'll talk about that. NFL this week. Bunch of big games with division implications. There's a couple of divisions that can be slammed shut with games this week. There's some that could be really, really interesting down the stretch, depending on the result. Who do you think's the AFC favorite? And then also, some teams that we all left for dead on the side of the road. You look up, and there's a handful of them right back in the mix to be in the playoffs. And ironically, most of them are teams that we thought were going to be in the playoffs to start, got off to horrible starts, and now have worked their way back in. We'll tell you some of those and what we have for them. Five-county conference semifinals today down in Sentinel. And also that Jeff Lebby hiring is official. And it looks like, at least to me a little bit, the tide has been not turned yet, but at least stemmed with the lack of decommits and more recommitting from especially the 2022 guys that are going to be signing here in less than a week, at least there at OU. So we'll talk about some of those names. There's some offers going out. Interesting one, I thought, last night at a position maybe of need, maybe not, depending on what 13 decides to do here in the next couple weeks. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text, and we'll get you right here, 225-9698. Anything we're talking about, got something else on your mind, feel free to chime in. And 225-9698, going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com. You can hear us that way. You can hear us through the Paragon app, three radio stations. You've got the Penny News in there as well. Brand new edition of the Penny News on the website right now, thepennynews.com. Or go pick up a free copy as it's all around the area as we speak. At your local newsstand, a bunch of restaurants kind of have them hanging out there, so you can check out the deals while you eat lunch, thepennynews.com. Big Elk TV, Elks on the Road, and the Elkettes on the Road tomorrow night at Jones for the first time. I'm trying to effort. They've got 6 o'clock on the OSSAA website. I'm thinking that's not right, but we'll effort that. Normally a 6:30 tip, 6-15 pregames. And, of course, Paragon TV, we do have some action from the 5 County coming up tonight as well. We'll detail all of that right here out the top. And then it's the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go find it. KADSAM.com or iTunes for that information. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
Man, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts on December the 9th.
You're supposed to get, what, 70-some?
70-some yeah. Today. Mid-70s tomorrow. Tomorrow could be a high fire danger.
Yes.
With the wind howling.
We need to be very careful.
Upwards of 40 to 50 mile an hour gusts.
Yes.
With the extremely dry conditions out there, and the heat will help that out. And I'm sure the humidity will go down to almost nothing, as it has been seemingly for the last 2 months. But it's a weird it doesn't, outside of my bank account dwindling because I'm making purchases for Christmas presents, it doesn't feel like Christmas is 2 weeks away.
No, I need it to like start snowing or something, you know, so it can get me in the Christmas mood, thus me making purchases for Christmas. I've been kind of lacking there. I was looking earlier, right before we came up here to start the show, I was looking online, you know, a couple presents here, a couple presents there. But yeah, this weather's crazy. I don't know how to dress for it because I start, you know, I'm in a jacket right now, a little, you know, not a big one, but I'm going to be shedding it later. Oh, well. Feels like baseball season.
Yeah, it's a lot
like,
more
like early spring yeah. Baseball season, not basketball season.
It is a lot more springy than it is 2 weeks from Christmas. Because you're right. It seems like as the weather starts turning warmer, you normally have to start with the jacket and then shed it.
Yeah.
By the time the afternoon rolls around, that's exactly what's happening. The only difference is it cools off so much faster once the sun actually goes down.
Yeah.
You know, but even last night, I think the low was only like in the mid 40s, which
wasn't bad.
It's normally the high.
Yeah, but even doesn't matter where the wind's blowing out of, it still is a cool breeze.
No doubt. Just any little wind kind of cuts through and makes you pretty cool.
I mean, usually I went out a couple times hunting deer season, and I was always accustomed to having to really layer up.
That's right.
Not so much. Even the orange vest was too much at times.
That's what
it was, man. But when that, you know, in the afternoon, when that sun went down, that got cold really set in, even with no wind.
So my father-in-law last night, he was like, "I don't even know what's going on." It was 81 the last day of deer season.
Yeah,
on Sunday.
That's ridiculous.
I know. It's like my face is still kind of warm. Like I got a sunburn.
Yeah,
that's in the middle of December.
It's ridiculous.
But it's nice. Listen, I'd take this over what was happening a year ago. You know, we didn't even mention it, but like last Thursday, when it was 75 degrees, setting record highs all across the state, you remember what was happening a year ago last Thursday?
I think we had an ice storm.
We actually had a gigantic snowstorm, and playoff games were delayed by a day to clear off snow.
That's right.
At like Buffalo and Laverne, yes. It snowed like 15 to 18 inches.
That's right.
And they had to delay those games from Friday night to Saturday afternoon in order to be able to clear the stands in the field of the massive amounts of snow.
Right.
So we can't be it couldn't be any further from that.
Yeah.
Right now.
I don't think that'll be a problem this or tomorrow. And what do they all play, tomorrow or Saturday? Or some
I think the Class B game is tomorrow and the 2A and Class A games are on Saturday.
Gotcha.
I believe the Class B game is at Alva tomorrow night at 7 with Balco, Forgan, and Laverne. It's a wonder they didn't just meet at like Guymon High School.
Yeah, really. That's right.
Let me make sure of that. I believe that's right. Class B. Yep, Friday at 7 o'clock. They're at Northwestern up in Alva. And then I'm nearly positive those 2A games, the 2A and A are on Saturday. They are. It'll be A first at 1 o'clock, 2A second at 7 o'clock. Those could be some fantastic games, by the way, all three of those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really were kind of void of good games last week.
Maybe two.
Jinx Union and the other 5A game.
You know, Clinton fans will say, our game was good.
Well, yeah. I mean, that, you know, if
but,
you
but
won.
But competitive game. Yeah,
as far as competitive fun games, it almost reminded you, because the games in the semifinals were fantastic almost throughout every class.
Yeah, they were.
It really kind of reminded me of what small school Friday is in the big house with the semifinal games, and then a lot of times on Saturday we get duds.
Right, right.
All the really good ones happen on Friday. It felt like that maybe a week early with the good football games, and then last week it was a beat down city on some of them. But yeah, the McAllister, the last one of the weekend on Saturday night, McAllister and Collinsville, didn't make up for the lack of competitiveness, but it was a fun one up and down the field, close all the way throughout.
Yep.
I think we're going to have good ones this week, though. Cashin and Ringling is the A game.
Yeah.
That's a rematch from 2 years ago when Ringling won that game over Cashin. Cashin's the defending state champ, so you've kind of got a rubber match there as far as state titles over the last 3 years. Marlow and Washington, they've met a couple of times here in the past in the playoffs. That should be a really good one. And then Laverne and Balco Forgan, have they played this season? Are they in the same district? I think they are.
It's a great question. Feels like they should be up there in Northwest.
Yeah, there's probably not much choice.
There's not much, yeah.
I know they're in the same district. I think Laverne won that game.
I would look on OSSA rankings.
But it's not working.
But it's all screwed up.
Yeah. Let's see who gets it. Let's see who gets the page to load correctly first.
That's my plea to whoever runs this website is please fix it. It's been 2 weeks.
Probably, I've got it.
It's not working for me.
I've got it. Just have to open up a new.
Ah, there you go.
Now it's Circle of Death.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They're in the same district.
They are in the same. Who
36-28, Laverne beat Balco back in the
first.
Well,
that don't mean nothing. The first time Elk and Clinton played, it was, 34-0.
Now, the one thing is, in those rematches so far, it's gone the same way.
That is true, but we got better games.
It's gone the same way.
Right.
Yeah, Union finally scored on Jinx for the first time in 2 years. Actually scored two touchdowns right quick.
Yeah, I mean, what, second play of the game?
Yeah, it was 15-0, and then Jinx came back and scored 20 straight.
You know who was really rooting for Union
who?
On Saturday? Clinton fans.
Oh, yeah, I guess
they
that's right.
They didn't want Jinx to pass them in the total.
End up 30-15, I'm sorry.
Total gold ball status.
Yeah, that's right, because they'd tied. They'd caught up on
They came, and now they're
Friday.
Third. So it's Ada, what, 19?
19-18-17. You know who's
Ada,
fourth?
Ada, Jinx, fourth. I know who, there's, who's after, Carl Albert's after Clinton.
Yeah, they were tied at 16 before Clinton won.
Right. Fourth.
That is Carl Albert. Fourth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right. Fourth, Carl Albert.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to go further down the list now.
Okay, keep going.
I don't know. Someone asked me this immediately after the Clinton game, and I looked it up because I'm a nerd. Who was it? I can't remember. Maybe someone like, well, Thomas has a few. We'd have to really look this
up. Just a second. No, I've seen this in the last couple of days.
Yeah, there's a list out there.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who has the most? This is great trivia. Let's see what you can do here, Jared.
Who has the most?
Who is the all-time, coaching-wise?
Oh.
Who has won the most playoff games in Oklahoma Prep high school football history?
I'll go with Alan Trimble.
You are wrong. He's second.
Is it Gary Rose?
Nope. Fairly embarrassing here, Jared.
Is it Mike?
It is.
Mike Lee?
Mike Lee, 66. Trimble was 64.
Okay. And then Rose was third? Or is he further down?
He is...
I didn't know we were doing pop quiz today.
He is sixth, actually. Sixth.
Okay. He's top ten. Okay.
Bruce Hendrickson is third. Mike Snyder is fourth. Where's he from? I don't know that name. Larry McBroom, obviously. Everybody knows where he's from.
There we go.
With 53. Then you get to 49 with Gary Rose, Jody Weber down at Davis, 47. Troy Bullard, Shattuck, 44. Bill Blankenship, 43. And then our man at Wagner, 42.
Dale Condit. Cool.
Yep. Dadgum.
Okay, we were looking for the list of.
I thought it was on this website here. Just a second. I got a text.
Well, let's figure it out.
Oh. It was answering. An Elk City alum got the answer you couldn't get, Jared.
I was trying to be modest. I knew he was up there, but I couldn't remember how far up there. Very good. Yeah, I think that was in a tweet somewhere.
That's what it was. It was a tweet.
Yeah.
Hang on.
No, that's our problem. Once we're stuck on something, we got to figure out the answer immediately.
Yeah, read that while I'm looking.
You want to talk about the 5-County Conference basketball tournament? What's happening today? I can read a couple things, actually, if it takes you that long. Let's see.
Oh, is that a veiled shot?
4 o'clock.
That I'm not a good internet sleuth?
4 o'clock. Merritt's taking on Sentinel. And then at 5:20, these are all semifinal games. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot on the line here. Arapahoe Butler boys taking on the Sentinel boys. Sentinel boys have impressed lately, haven't they?
How did we miss number 5? Are you kidding me? All right, keep going.
For coaches?
No, for teams.
Okay.
So then you got number 7. You said Thomas. The next two are so obvious if you just think about it. But go ahead.
Canute girls taking on Arapahoe Butler girls at 6:40. And Merritt boys taking on Hammond at 8 o'clock. I've seen... Well, one of those teams in person. Watch the other one on the screen. I had a feeling about the Hammond boys going into that game. I think the Merritt boys, they have depth and size. Hammond, they can shoot it. When they can shoot it, they're pretty dang good. That could be a fun one to wrap things up tonight. Those are the 4 games. And let me look here. Yes, 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 yes. All will be on the Paragon Network.
All right, starting at 4 all the way through an 8 o'clock tip for the nightcap. All right, let's go back. So you had 8-1.
Okay.
8-1, Jinx 2, Clinton 3, Carl Albert 4. You had Thomas, which is number 7. They've got 10.
Okay.
Who's 5 and 6? It really is obvious if you just think about it.
Well, skinny on sports trivia.
This is one of my favorite things, is to ask you.
Just to make me look dumb. Okay, no, this is your favorite thing.
No, because you're not going to look dumb when you say one of your answers that you fired out in the break. So the question on the table is, with Clinton winning number 17 on the football field this year, Jinx won 18. What is, say, the top seven? Because Jared guessed Thomas, that's number 7 with 10. He's missing two, number 4 and number 5. So it goes 8-1 with 19. They haven't won one since 1996, by the way.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
That, you talk about a drought. And you know, Clinton people were saying, oh, we're in a drought. And then they won one. Now, well, look what Ada's doing right now. Yeah. But they were still leading.
At one point, maybe Brandon Daniels have a kid that can help him get back in the circle. I don't know.
Or his kid has a kid.
Yeah, maybe that. Yeah, it's been that long, hasn't it?
But that just speaks to the dominance Ada was.
Whew, I'll say.
You haven't won one since nine. What did you say?
That's 25 years.
Yeah, and they're still leading the state in state titles.
Jinx 18 is number 2. Clinton 17, number 3. Carl Albert with 16 is number 4. Now, you had one of them right. What was one of the names you thought?
Shattuck.
Shattuck is number 6. That is correct. Shattuck with 12 is number 6.
Okay. And we mentioned Thomas. There's 7.
Thomas is 7.
So there's who's number 5 is what you're asking.
Yes. Who's number 5? We had guesses.
We don't have any guests.
On the text line.
Okay.
With 3 different schools. None of them are right, unfortunately.
Wow. Okay.
The guess is here. Bixby.
Nah.
They're just at 7. Broken Arrow, nowhere close. And Union.
I got one.
Union is 8th, tied 8th with 9.
Okay.
The number 5 is obvious if you just think about it.
Davis.
Nope.
It's not Davis.
They're down at number 17.
Sulphur?
Nope.
I'm sticking in this. Is it a small school?
It is a small school.
Okay. Washington?
Nope. We just had a guess on Washington and Seminole. Neither one are right. I'll tell you this. This school has a tie with Shattuck in a way. They're going to be linked together in history.
The Pond Creek?
Nope.
I don't know how many they have. I'm going way back.
Last title, 2008.
Their last title was 08. I'm circling my head here. Listen, we're going to run out of time. I don't know. I concede. I don't know.
Oh, here we go. Hang on. One more guess. Oh.
You got a winner?
We have a winner. The reason why they're linked to Shattuck is because Shattuck broke their win streak record in that run, and it's Morrison.
Morrison
with 14 is number 5. John David is correct. Hunter, Tyler, and Dylan, all wrong.
Very good.
Jared, wrong as well.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I was thinking of? So, real quick, before we move on, but we're talking about trivia and football. You know what would be fun during Big Elk football broadcast?
What's that?
A trivia question.
Oh, my gosh.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. If we could for sure know the answer.
Well, we got the records and the numbers and stuff. I'm talking Big Elk football related.
Oh, for sure.
Wouldn't that be fun? We can come up with at least 14 trivia questions.
Okay, well, this is going to be a one-year deal? Because if we continue, we're going to have to keep on coming up with
them. I'm pitching this because if we have any great sponsors,
that's right,
who want to sponsor our trivia, kind of like the Aflac trivia
or
question.
Or Jones and for Johnny's.
There you go.
Coming up after us.
The winner could get a food or
free
oil change or something. I don't know. A trivia question. That'd be fun.
How would we – okay, here's the question.
Because we got a lot of response this year on the text line.
I know, but so how do we judge the winner?
Well, first
the
one
first you, one we first see one on the text line, the first
in.
One in?
Yeah. It's easy as that.
This isn't a bad idea.
Okay. Done with my sales pitch.
Isn't a bad idea at all here, Jared. You know the team that I thought might get guessed that was just one behind Thomas?
What's that? Who's that?
Booker T. They're 8th with 9.
Yeah, I was going with the Davis, Sulphur, Washington. I was going in that area.
Davis 6.
Right there. They have 6.
Yeah. You know, Winnie Wood, Watonga. Those are kind of the old school ones.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Both with
Hobart.
6.
What's Hobart?
Hobart's 5. Frederick 5.
Yeah.
Wagner. Nobody's, you know, Wagner's more. They're kind of newer to the party.
Right.
But they've won five.
Yeah.
All since what? Jeez. 2000
since
for sure.
Since the turn of the century, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Super interesting.
Always fun to talk about that.
Yeah. See, this is what I was thinking too. Jeremy says you should have to call in. But I don't know how we can set up a call-in on the football
Listen,
broadcast.
Quit adding work, Jeremy. Come on. Quit adding work to this. It's a lot simpler to text in. Sorry. Just easier this way.
All right, so NFL this week. Here, you haven't read that yet, have you?
Running out of time.
Yeah, read that.
Running
real quick.
Out of time to get your ticket for the Elk City Rotary Club's beef sweepstakes. This raffle grand prize winner will be drawn this Saturday night at Ackley Park. You do not have to be present to win. That's pretty fun if you are. Grand prize gets a side of beef and a freezer. We were putting beef in the freezer last night, and Allie said, we need another freezer. Or
sign up.
I said, we need to eat more beef. Yeah. What we need to do. Second and third place prize, a quarter beef each. So three people are going to be winners on Saturday night. One ticket for $25. You buy four, you get the fifth one free. $100, five tickets. That's pretty good odds right there. Tickets are still available, but as typical raffles go, usually the last week or the last couple of days, those tickets will fly away. So yep. Don't hesitate. Buy your tickets now. Again, going to draw at 8 p.m. on Saturday. That's pretty much the deadline to buy a ticket. You can buy tickets from Rotarians at Ackley Park on Saturday night. You can swing by, here. You can find me.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I've been I've had a couple sold. I'd like to sell them out and be a good Rotarian. I'm shamelessly using my microphone to my advantage.
As a former president, you'd think you'd be forced or obligated to sell them all.
Well, thanks.
Hey, real quick before we
thanks
since we're jacking around today. how about?
Well, we've got a lot of response in the text.
Yeah, really, this has been pretty good stuff. Did you hear? I know a lot on Facebook. A couple of people were very, very upset.
About?
Oklahoma State Senator Bill Coleman.
Yes.
The Republican from Ponca. Did you hear him yesterday on with Mark?
No. This is embarrassing if you're an OU fan or from the state of Oklahoma.
It was 90. He said this took 120 seconds, so 2 minutes to introduce this. I think it's hilarious. So what he wants to do is come up with an appropriate departure for Lincoln Riley on his way west to USC. And he has picked out a 3-inch portion of desolate highway after the coach bolted in the middle of the night for sunnier skies. It's on State Highway 325 out in the panhandle near Black Mesa. You know, I saw a bunch of people going, oh, they got better things to do than this. Listen, it's 2 minutes. You don't think they don't waste 2 minutes doing normal stuff up there at the state capitol? I think it's hilarious. I think, it's obviously a subtle shot on the length of the highway at being 3 inches. I think that's pretty funny. Everybody lighten up.
What does that mean?
Come on. It's clear, isn't it? Not everything in politics has to be life or death. Just simmer down.
Are they going to make a sign?
He's going to pay for it.
Oh, okay.
No. He's going to pay for the sign.
All right.
If it gets voted. I think, this isn't the right Monday, I think, but we got to ask our man Anthony Moore about this, which way he's going to vote.
He might be on tomorrow.
I know.
He comes on like
first and third, isn't it, though? Or second and fourth. We'll find out.
Well, is tomorrow not the first Friday? No. Last Friday was. My apologies.
Anyway.
That's how fast this month is going.
It'd be interesting to see Anthony's thoughts on what was going on there.
Well, he's a big OSU guy.
I know.
So
I know.
He could probably care less.
That means vote yes. If you care less, vote yes.
It made national headlines, and I just thought, come on.
It's just funny.
Can we just take the high road and just not even mention the guy anymore?
I guess we could have given him 5 inches worth of highway.
No. Let's not be generous here.
There's no reason to lie to the public, eh?
Is that in geographically taking the high road because it's up there in High Plains, Oklahoma, Panhandle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's actually Coleman, he's originally a He's from K County there. Mark knew him from Blackwell. He actually is a one of the main guys that got that Senate Bill 302 for the video streaming on our side because he's a radio guy.
Then I fully support this
he's
bill.
A radio guy. Yes.
I fully support this.
Yeah, he talked about it yesterday.
He sounds like a guy we need to have on our station.
It was good stuff that allows the, you know, the schools can't lock somebody out from live streaming regular season games.
Yes.
Just because they're associated with the four-letter group that runs things in the playoffs. So it was interesting. Very, very interesting.
He's my hero.
All right.
In that regard, he's my hero.
No. Anyhow.
It's our livelihood, man. Freedom of speech.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Where do you want to go?
Oh, NFL.
We've really gone off the rails today.
We really have. It's been fun. We'll just sit around and kind of, it's more like we're just hanging out at the bar right now.
I think that's a lot of people like to hear, though. I mean, not people really like, that's the main response that we get is when we talk about whatever, you know? I've had people tell me, hey, when you start the show and you talk about what you did the night before and the funny stuff happens, and then when you really dive into sports, I turn off. And that's usually my wife who tells me that.
Things are getting better on the text line. We got offers of bringing the beer just to kind of hang out and shoot the breeze.
A little early.
Is it? It depends. Could be a crazy Thursday. All right, the NFL games this week of note. Tonight's a pretty important one for a couple of teams, of Pittsburgh at Minnesota. That's a pair of teams that are trying to kind of hold on in the race for the playoffs. Minnesota was kind of that scary hot team there for a little bit. They cooled off just a skosh.
Like scary team with a losing record.
Yeah, I know. You know, it's weird because when they first started to play better, it was like, man, I thought Minnesota had a worse record than that. And now when you look up, it's like they played pretty well for a couple of games. Every game has been close. I think, weren't they the ones that had a lead in every game, or a 10-point lead in every game for the first like 10 weeks?
Yeah, then
and end up losing a bunch of those.
Right.
Now you look up and you're like, whoa, they're only 5-7? Are we sure? I thought Minnesota's better than that. But anyhow, it's funny how ties in the NFL usually end up coming back to make a huge difference. And normally on the positive side for the team that tied instead of lost. It's just so weird how very rarely does a tie happen between two teams that don't have anything to do with the playoff race. It seems like it always benefits somebody. Right now that's Pittsburgh. It's a big one in the third column to the right instead of a one added to the loss column. So that's a good one. Baltimore and Cleveland, it's almost a must-win, I think, for the Browns.
Yeah.
With a division game. Still, you know, sitting at 6-6, need to get probably, what, 3 or 4 of the last 5 in order to assure themselves a playoff spot. Then we get to a couple of games, I think there's 3 this week, in which the division leader has a 2-game lead over the team they're playing. The first game is in Arrowhead with the Raiders coming to the Chiefs. They've actually got a 1-game lead over the Chargers, but 2 over Las Vegas. You know, this is one of those where if you can, you know, the Chiefs winning eliminates Las Vegas from any chance to win the division. Same case in Dallas, in Washington, with Dallas and Washington. Cowboys with the 2-game lead at 8-4 over 6-6 Washington. If they can, even just splitting the 2 out of these next 3 with Washington, puts the Cowboys in a huge position of strength with only 3 other games on the schedule.
Yeah.
2 of them, which are very winnable between against the Giants and the Eagles. You know, and its sweep obviously makes it insurmountable for Washington to get back. And then the last one is Monday night with the Cardinals hosting the Rams. In a similar situation, better records, but a 2-game lead for Arizona over the Rams. They've already beat them once. And so now if Arizona is able to win again, they've essentially got a 4-game lead with 4 to go in the division race because of the tiebreaker they would hold sweeping the season series over the Rams. So I think, you know, this weekend, you know, Buffalo-Tampa is another one that doesn't have those implications, but it's a good one. Cincinnati and San Francisco is another game which, you know, people left some teams that were just left for dead. San Francisco was one. Miami was one. Some people even left the Chiefs as far as a Super Bowl contender, but that's a little bit different than this. But Washington, you know, they won four straight. And then Indianapolis is a team that I don't think people realize what they have become. Man, are they playing well right now. After, you know, a couple – you remember Carson Wentz throwing games away with his left hand, but they played great since starting 0-3. And, you know, they're right back in the division race, have a winning record at 7-6. So it'll get more important as we move along, depending on the results of some of these games. But there are some teams back in the playoff race that we always thought were going to be there, namely San Francisco, Miami, and then also Indianapolis.
I'd throw Washington in there too. I think we, at the beginning of the year, we knew that they would probably contend for the East, and after a horrible start, now they've kind of clawed their way back to at least challenging Dallas for the East in a playoff spot. That's a big game for Dallas. It's a big game at Washington on Sunday, you know.
Oh, heck yeah, it is. Because
if they could at least split it, that puts them in a great position to win the division. If they can sweep it, even better. And with Dallas getting a little healthier, I question the running backs right now with their health. And so that would, we'll really break down the nuts and bolts of this game probably tomorrow. But, you know, it's going to put a lot of the weight on Dak and the receivers. But that Washington defense, almost even if you have a healthy running attack, doesn't matter because their front is so good.
Yeah, that was the weird part of their season is they start out and their defense is just atrocious for the first, 4 or 5 weeks, you know, giving up. When you look back even at their scores, they held down Herbert in the first week. Then they give up 29 to the Giants, who can't score 29 on air. They give up 43 to Buffalo, which we saw that offense, granted, in the ridiculous wind snowstorm the other night. But they can't run the ball at all. It doesn't matter if it's dead calm in a dome. Buffalo can't run the ball. You give up 30 to the Falcons, 33 to Jameis and the Saints, 31 to the Chiefs, and then 24 to the Packers. It's like, what is going on in Washington with the defense? And then all of a sudden, they kind of turned things around with just 19 against Tom Brady, and then 15 in the last 2 weeks against the Seahawks and the Raiders. So they've figured things out. Chase Young went out, a month and a half ago with a season-ending injury. But they've gotten better, and they've gotten more what we thought they were going to be as this season rolls along. And I think, you know, with the way that the Gibson can run it, and, you know, Heinicke just seems to be one of those guys that makes plays somehow, some way.
Yeah.
You know, look at the last 2 weeks, or really 3 weeks. They beat the Panthers 27-21 in a game that Carolina easily could have won. They got past the Seahawks 17-15, and then last week at the Raiders 17-15. Those wins force Dallas. You know, you're talking about the running back health. Zeke's going to have to play. Now, if they just drop one of those, then a split, you're still up three games in the division with two left. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The division is over with regards to Washington's chances of overtaking Dallas. But Washington figuring out a way to win these last four, three of them, and kind of come back, hang in their fashion, forces Dallas to have to play. And, I mean, we're both Cowboys fans. Who doesn't see a collapse coming, right? I mean, until it doesn't happen.
Thought we were seeing it after Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
here we go.
You're just thinking, oh, my gosh, they're going to lose both these games to Washington. And it's going to come down to, you know, hoping somebody can beat them or whatever, like it always does. And then that Arizona game is hanging out there for Dallas in week 16 that you certainly don't want to have to win that one, with Arizona probably still having something to play for as far as the one seed, their division, you know, the bye, yeah, all of that. Last thing you want to see is Dallas have to win that Arizona game to give themselves a chance to keep control of the division. They were up four games just a couple of weeks ago at that little stretch where they lost three of four, and Washington with four straight wins in that same time period. All of a sudden, we've got a division race in the East that we didn't see coming after, week four or five when the Cowboys went on that six-game winning streak. So that's it's an important one for sure.
And then after that, if they can take care of Washington, keep an eye out for the Eagles. Okay.
Yeah, their schedule is terrible.
The winners of their three of their last four, they too play Washington twice in a three-game span. I think they're off this week, aren't
they?
They
are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're sitting there at 6-7, but I mean, they get Washington, the Giants, Washington again, and then the boys. You know, that could set up too. I mean, we're sitting here worried about Washington. Well, if Dallas takes care of Washington, Philadelphia takes care of Washington. You see what I'm saying? I mean, is there a, could it come down to something to that last game of the year between the Cowboys and the Eagles?
It's possible.
It's possible. Just keep an eye on them. That's all I'm saying.
It's possible that
they've played a little better as of late.
Philly would have to win all four to get to 10-7.
Right.
Which at this point, with Dallas 8-4 and the five games they've got left, 10-7 would seem like a massive disappointment. But it's definitely hanging there if you can't beat your division opponents. And that's a good thing for Philly's schedule. They're playing nothing but division teams the rest of the way.
And only one on the road.
That's right. And just at Washington after having two home games and then Dallas there in Philly to end the season. Yeah, the last thing you want as a Cowboys fan for that one to matter.
Exactly.
At least as far as making the playoffs or not, winning the division or not. Please no. Because yeah. Guess what? I've seen that movie. I know how it ends.
Yes.
Romo sprinting out of the booth to throw a pick six and end the game.
Yep, we're not done with the NFL.
It's not near as fun for Cowboys fans as it was about week 8.
Yeah.
Riding high at 7-1 going, I wonder if we can be the bye team.
Yeah.
Congratulations again go out to our Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em winner, Mr. Andy Peffer. Andy clipped Possum by a single game.
So we need to figure out.
You know what he told me?
What's that?
You know what he told me, by the way?
What's that?
That he was so, Andy told me that he was so enthralled with the OU coaching search that he forgot to pick the Friday games.
Oh, my. And he's still won?
And he still won. That shouldn't make anybody feel better. If I was Possum or John Rep, I wouldn't feel very good about that. So that means he was 6-8 on Saturday in those conference title games. It's pretty good. He had his finger on the pulse of what was going on.
Would take Andy to Vegas.
Should have done it all year.
Yeah.
Because he ended up, I'm pulling up right here, like 16 games over .500.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. Like 55% is pretty good. 77-61.
So I guess we need to set up a bowl pick'em thing?
Yeah, we're going to do that.
Do that?
Figure
we
out.
We have until, what, 17th?
Something like that. Yeah, we got about a week.
A week from tomorrow?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, so let's do the math. 77-61. That's 7,700 and 6,100. 6,100 and 6,10. So you'd made about $1,000 if you'd have bet $100 on every one of Andrew's picks. It's pretty good.
Not bad.
That is pretty, pretty good.
I'm too scared to bet.
Are you afraid your wife's going to find out?
No, I'm just afraid of losing.
You can't be scared of losing, Jared.
And then I would say, well, I'll just bet again to get it back, and then I'll lose again. And then I would form a gambling habit.
If you're losing all the time, I'm going to call that not only a habit, but a problem.
All of a sudden, Allie's calling me saying, how come the bank wants to take the house? What's going
Speaking
on?
Speaking of that, have you seen what's happening out in Phoenix? With the Coyotes?
Yes.
Dude, I've never heard of such a thing.
They forgot to pay their taxes or just didn't do it? Oh, the taxes on the arena? Is that it?
Yes.
I saw the headline.
So they face eviction. The Arizona Coyotes, the NHL team, they face eviction the 20th of December over unpaid taxes, fees, and other fees. City of Glendale is going to kick them out if they don't pay their delinquent tax bill.
Okay, one.
And arena charges.
Do people
It's about 1.3 mil.
Is that because no one's going to the games and they just don't have the money to pay it?
It says
or
human error.
Is there a big misunderstanding?
I think it's they're saying it's human error, but
did they send in a check but forgot to sign it?
Or did they
like George Costanza's
or
idea?
Did they put it in the little box, but they didn't write it out, so it doesn't count?
Knowing, okay, this will buy us some time.
All right, we got another week. It's going to be embarrassing, but we can blame it on Kevin Phelps. No, he's the city manager. Team President Xavier Gutierrez is going to take the flag.
I'm quite shocked that the Coyotes are still there. They've been, year in, year out, the worst NHL team every season. I'm just guessing fan attendance is very poor. I'm just surprised they haven't been moved. I'm
trying to remember.
I'm not sure a hockey team in the desert was ever a good idea, but hockey team in Florida is doing pretty good. Tampa Bay's won the last two Stanley Cups.
Yeah, Nashville, you know,
Nashville's doing pretty good.
Some of those southern teams have really been good. Dallas has been good a time or two, yeah. You know, here and there. Were they the Jets? Were they the Winnipeg Jets?
No.
And then they reopened the Jets?
I don't know. I know the Atlanta team went to Winnipeg to become the Jets.
Yeah, yeah, because the Jets came. Before? Yeah, yeah. Originally, the Jets came to Arizona,
gotcha.
I'm pretty sure.
Gotcha.
And then the Atlanta Thrashers went up and became the Jets.
I wonder if they get evicted, is that the first step of them just relocating altogether?
Well, I think they
you know what I mean?
According to their team manager or their whatever, they're making that payment today.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was just literally human error. Okay. I don't know if we believe that or not, but I think Gretzky was involved in this team at one
some
time.
Point, I think he had some ownership and stake into it. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they got a team in Seattle now. The Kraken.
That's right. You know, it's working in Vegas. Speaking of desert, it's working in Vegas.
Sure.
How long do you think it's going
to
be? All right, so Vegas has NHL and has NFL, right, so far? How long until they're a four-sport town?
So you're talking NBA.
NBA and Major League Baseball.
Well, baseball's coming. I think baseball's next.
A's?
It looks like the A's are wanting to build where an old casino is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some headline on that one. Didn't read about it. So I think there's been talks of them going there. I mean, they're basically – Vegas is grabbing all the Bay Area teams. So what does that mean? Golden State's coming next.
Well, that's what. Here's the deal, though. That it makes a bunch of sense for them to do that because of the connection between L.A., that wherever in California, and how quick a trip it is to Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
NBA.
I can't see an expansion team. I can see someone moving though.
I can too.
Sacramento, maybe.
That one would make a lot of sense. New Orleans. But the problem is it needs to be the right one to move because you already need to have that connection to that area. I mean, listen, nobody in the world wants to hear this. But if you were an owner of, say, the Oklahoma City Thunder and were looking to drastically increase the value of your franchise, what quicker way to do that? Mm-hmm. Than to move it from Oklahoma City to Las Vegas.
Yep.
Problem is, I don't think there's a whole bunch of Thunder fans roaming around Southern California and Nevada and all that. But here's the deal. There weren't any Golden Knights fans either, and they fill that arena to watch hockey all the time.
How many hockey fans were in Vegas before the Knights went there? Yeah. Yeah, that's – no, it's vastly – I mean, just – you know, it's what Vegas has done year after year. It's been exploding – with business and popularity and population, everything. Yeah, it's coming. It's inevitable. It's not the Thunder thing, but the four-sport thing. Absolutely, it's coming.
Yeah, I think so too.
And when they broke that barrier, because there's always that question of having a professional team in a huge gambling market,
mm-hmm.
when they finally broke that barrier, I think, saying, okay, it's fine. It's working.
That and now gambling is legal all across the country.
Sure.
So there's not that stigma of just one place
right. Like
there was before.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.